These are strange times we live in. I, of all people, never thought that I would quote tweets from Twitter in a literature commentary, but somehow lately George Takei, famous for playing Sulu on Star Trek, seems to have captured my attention. His ability to put into a short, simple statement the correlations that he sees with his early life and his present life are hard to ignore. For example, quote, "Watching people melt down over a black Santa at Mall of the America. Santa is white, exclamation point. Well, in our internment camp, he was Asian. So there." End quote. And, quote, "I pledged allegiance to the flag every morning inside an internment camp, and I would never burn one, but I'd die to protect the right to do so." End quote. The key words in both of those statements are internment camp. Mr. Takei is referencing his childhood spent inside an internment camp on American soil for Japanese Americans during World War II. He is a living, speaking, writing reminder of an incredibly shameful moment in our history. Earlier this year, he starred in a musical on Broadway titled Allegiance, based in part on his experiences in an internment camp as a child. And he has sent me back to a book by another Japanese American writer, Jean Houston, titled Farewell to Manzanar. Her slim memoir, co-authored with her husband, James, recounts her life from the bombing of Pearl Harbor through the family's forced relocation to Manzanar, an internment camp for Japanese Americans in California during World War II. There are so many moments in Houston's book that are startling. Watching her mother struggle with open public bathrooms with no stalls or dividers is an experience that is shaming for both of them. The acts of dehumanizing people that we vilify, they don't have to be violent to be effective. Internment camps are not just to keep people contained, but very much to systematically strip them of their humanity and to convince their captors that they are little more than livestock. With precision, Houston walks her readers through the disintegration of her family life and support system. And with great insight, she notes that by simply eliminating the family meal ritual in the internment camp, it effectively destroyed the strength of the family support system. And I think for me at least, that was when Houston's book transformed, because there on the page I could see my own mother, who suffered with a sense of dignity in front of her offspring and upheld the sanctity of family dinner as an absolute priority. And what she had the luxury to teach me and give me as a result of those two things, a sense of self and the security support of belonging to a caring family, these should not be luxuries in America in the 20th and 21st centuries. But they are. Houston, as a child, doesn't really comprehend the events swirling outside the gates of Manzanar. She can only chronicle the responses to them within. Unlike the adults around her, she has nothing else to really compare it to. She hasn't experienced enough of life to mourn the loss of status or possessions, but she feels keenly a shift in her young world and the loss of safety, of love, guidance, and compassion. I reread Farewell to Manzanar, and I picture all too easily my own parents shocked and confused and lost. A lifetime of hard work could lead to that. For many people, it did, through no fault of their own. And the book fills me with greater trepidation than before, because already there are calls for a national registry of specific people in the United States, and calls for mass deportation of others. These are dangerous words that, if allowed to become reality, will undermine the very fabric of our national promise. My admiration for Mr. Takei and Mrs. Houston is that, having lived through this before, their stories, their voices, and their warnings can remind us of our shared humanity. And that's a gift we could all benefit from.